I have decided that we need to study at least one other thing in the law, and that's what's called the ashes of the red heifer. It's almost impossible to understand. It said of Solomon, of all the mysteries God had shown him, but the one that he didn't understand was the ashes of the red heifer. Many of the mixed multitude and other non-Jews that were following or that became followers accused the Jews of witchcraft because of this ceremony of the ashes of the red heifer. All of the Leviticus 14 and 15, it's just in every, we're not going to go there right now, but throughout the law, the removal of ritual and physical impurity was removed by water, and preferably what they call living water or running water. Where the impurity was unusually great, mere water was not enough. And so various substances were added to the water to give it more efficacy. Now, from my standpoint, each one of these issues has something to do with a mystery that's going on with us as a body. And so before we start the, because water is part of the ceremony of the ashes of the red heifer, and it was any time that you touched a dead body or were in the same room with a dead body, or walked over a grave, or even walked over a bone, you were Levitically unclean because you had, in essence, touched the dead. What's critical about this is to understand that every single time that Jesus raised somebody from the dead, or Paul raised someone from the dead, they were Levitically unclean and had to go through the ceremony. Even after the church was formed in Acts, Paul and the others still did these different things that are in the law. Not necessarily to have any righteousness from them, but to try to understand what they meant in the new covenant. We're going to look this morning at several of these different kinds of offerings and the different things that were added to them. There was dust was added, gold was added, ashes were added, blood was added, all for different levels of impurity. And so I want to start out by looking at, since this happened on the Fast of Ab, I want to start out by looking at one of the issues where gold was added to the water for purification of the unclean. And this, what we're about to read in Exodus, go to Exodus 32, I think. Yeah, Exodus 32, I had it. In 31:18, it's when God gave Moses, it says, and he gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. You can't you can't imagine anything more important from the standpoint of the Jews and probably anybody else, that these were two tables of stone written upon by the finger of God. So anyway, then in 32:1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods. It doesn't say that. It says, make us a god, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. Now, at this point, Moses had been on the mount, or that's where they saw him go, for 40 days and 40 nights. And it says he didn't eat or drink for 40 days or 40 nights. Now that's impossible. Except if God had taken him up into the mystery of the New Jerusalem, where there is no time. So 40 days in the New Jerusalem, maybe 5 minutes or less, I mean, or no time. Do you understand? That's why time is the great bastard in understanding the mystery of God, because the mind cannot apprehend no time. So it can't apprehend without repentance this mystery of no time. So anyway, and Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, it doesn't say gods, I don't know why they did this. It just says God, singular. It says, this be the God, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Now, that tomorrow becoming a feast to the Lord became the fast of Av. So, now you got to remember, this was in the age of Taurus. The Jews never even believed in these ages in terms of that they had any great meaning, except that in this case, the age of Taurus, so they made a calf or a bull image for that and they still ascribed it to God. This is the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. But now they had made themselves a visible God, molten, golden, made in the heat and fires. And what does that mean to us? We may say that we believe in the only God, but each of us, in the course of our life, has created the same golden image. And at some point, when you were in deep emotional distress, at some point in your life, this molten image, anytime it's a molten image, it has to do with your emotions. It has to do what triggers this anger and explosion that comes. It could be another person, it could be something that you remember, it could be an experience. But the point of it is, it triggers this emotion that gives you righteousness and gives you life. Does anybody understand me? Do you know what a golden, give you an example of a golden image in your life?
Mine are mostly graven.
Hmm?
Not that I don't have the molten ones too, but I can't remember any of them. So mine are mostly graven, whatever's worked to become that. I mean, I understand the concept is what I'm saying.
You didn't, you weren't here when we did the golden molten images? You were here?
I don't know. I think I was here. I mean, you're talking about the hospital.
I don't think you were.
Okay, well, I wasn't then. I know what the difference is. I know that one says based on emotion, one that says based on logic or how things work. And the ones that I recognize are based on logic things. I can still remember those. I can't remember the previous ones.
Well, let's go on. Well, we may talk about that some other time, but I don't want to talk about that now. Verse 6, and they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now they're offering, these are peace offerings according to the law and burnt offerings according to the law. They're celebrating their escape from Egypt. Aaron thought he was doing the right thing. To the person that does it, that is in that position, no one believes they are a heretic because you believe you're right. And if you believe you're right strong enough, it becomes, and it has an emotional component, that becomes the golden image that guides your life. No matter how many times, just as this, they're doing it all to the right. Well, let's go on. I keep getting. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, This be the God of Israel, which brought us out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Whatever this was, it was mad enough, it made God mad enough to destroy everything.
The thing is that they hadn't received the Ten Commandments yet. When did he command them? When did he command them this thing? They hadn't received the Ten Commandments yet.
Well, they hadn't received it, but
I know it's written on their hearts too. I'm just kind of fumbling. Yeah. Is that the answer?
That's the answer. The idea is that at least Aaron should have known that was wrong.
Right. I mean, just cross through the Red Sea. Isn't it surprised that Moses come wandering up in the hills for 40 days and not come back? I understand kind of where you're coming from.
Okay.
That's what I was asking.
Well, let's go ahead. And Moses besought the Lord. Now this is the kind of interesting. This is a prayer with power. Because it's a prayer in knowledge. But you got to admit that Moses had some gonads. He's talking to God now. God just said he's going to destroy the people because they all screwed up really badly. And he's going to destroy them. He's going to make another people out through the hand of Moses. Moses besought the Lord, his God, and said unto the Lord, why doth thou wrath wax hot against thy people? which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with mighty hand. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, that they may inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto this, unto his people. Now, do you understand the guts of that prayer?
I think you missed even a piece of it. When God first says to Moses, says, behold thy people, you know, who thou, you brought out of the land of Egypt, and Moses turns back around and says, not my people, they're your people, and you brought them
out. That's good.
I think that's cool.
That's good. Let's take a side trip for a minute. Let's go to that. It's called, it's really important prayer. I hope, it's Isaiah 1, the one you hopefully read Sunday. And we're doing all this right now because of the fast of that coming next weekend. There's a scripture here. Well, we're going to read the first few verses. This was done in the Do you remember when we studied as well? I can't, because most of you don't. We studied for a long time way back when we started studying Passover. That there were two great kings that, in many cases, were considered, in some cases, were considered in the scriptures greater than Solomon or David. And these two kings, anybody remember, Tom?
Josiah and Hezekiah.
That's right. Josiah and Hezekiah. And this scripture that we're about to read in Isaiah was contemporary with Josiah. But then his son really screwed the pooch, and so he is speaking now at the end of Josiah's, I think at the end of Josiah's reign, and just before his son took over. So he said, "Hear the vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah." This wasn't Josiah, it was Hezekiah, excuse me. In the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So let me just speak. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know me, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment, Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overgrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Now it says here, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. I don't know why it was translated here as a very small remnant, because it says, except the Lord had left us a seed, we should have been as Sodom and made unto like unto Gomorrah. And it's still talking to us. The description of Israel there is a description of us after the flesh. But unless the Lord of the Sabbath had left us a seed, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. And that's that seed is our life. Anyway, go back to Exodus 32. Verse 14. And the Lord repented of the evil which he had thought to do unto his people, and Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables that were testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and under the other they were written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people, as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Now, do you remember Joshua had gone up to the mountain and was waiting for Moses? When Joshua heard the noise of the people, as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came in nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Now that was on the Fast of Ab. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strewed it upon the waters and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods, which we shall make us a god again, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, etc., etc.
You need to do that, at least one more, etc. I cast it in the fire, and they came out this calf.
I'm not doing too well today, so if I'm not.
That's one of the.
I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it me, and I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Yeah. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to the throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell at the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin. Now I will peradventure, I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. Now, we're talking about the waters of purification. Here he mixed it with the gold of the golden calf and caused them to drink it. Now why? What does it have to do with us? Anybody?
I'm trying to compare it to the ash of the red heifer. It's so close.
No, I didn't have to do with the red heifer.
I know, but I mean, the parallel just seems interesting.
Look, the only way that you're ever going to be vulnerable enough to confess some of these things, like this golden molten image, as in small groups where trust has been earned over many years. I believe that every one of these rites has a current meaning in our life vis-a-vis our sanctification unto God. These were types in the law of the mystery of God in Christ. Now we talked about here about how you have to, he made them drink the pure water, the running water, mixed with gold of their golden calf, their golden god, of their molten image within them. That's the only way they could have repentance. They had to see that, and you and I have to see that golden image we have in ourselves, which is in truth our chief God, has to be seen as nothingness in order that we can get to the end of self. Now, the golden image has always something that you think is good. This is why it has to do, it's similar to the gates of impurity and the counting of the Omer. Because every single thing in the counting of the Omer, of the 49 gates of impurity, are something that you think is good. Now, for us, the golden calf that we have constructed in our being from the fires of emotion, we still think is the God that we serve. Now, it can be destroyed just by total repentance. But that's what we're going to look at in the next few days. Okay? And it's relationship. As you said earlier, there is a relationship, not obvious, to the ashes of the red heifer. Is anybody interested in this, or should I go on to something else?
Oh, man, I'm really interested in it. For one thing, the one thing I have found in looking at the gates of impurity is that the current Judaism says there are 50 gates of righteousness that you're going through on the other side. And based on what you just said, they're actually the same gate. It's just that at one point you really think the golden calf is a good thing. And so, you know, you're going to call it a gate of righteousness instead of a gate of impurity. You know, I haven't been able to identify each specific gate, and that's where my focus has been. But I've been waiting for here just that. You know, you can line up all the things that you think are good, and in fact, they're the gates of impurity leading you the wrong direction.
Again, the key to it is in Luke, where it says, you are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto the Lord. Now, no matter how, but the problem is these aren't intellectual gates. These are emotional gates. These are emotional that you die for.
And they may not be the same for everyone.
No, they're not.
Yeah, that's, I've been working up the wrong tree, trying to identify.
Well, the only way you can identify them is list the 50 things that you think are good. But you may get 500 things that you think are good.
Absolutely.
This is the only way. It says that we are crucified unto the world and the world unto us. What that means is there is nothing about us that should be attractive to the world. But that's not what we portray. And we don't portray reality because of the gates of impurity. Now, forget everything I just said. And if you believe in, I'm not saying anybody that doesn't know this is going to hell. I'm saying that this is what we have been called to do, to see. I don't know of any other group in the world that has ever, a Christian group, that has studied the ashes of the red heifer. I don't know of any Christian group in the world that has ever studied the 49 gates of impurity. That doesn't matter. We have to be faithful. I have to be faithful to what I see. You may not like it. That's your business. Amen?
That's also what this thing that we do with our brain is really about. I mean, you're always trying to decide, you know, can I make this gate of impurity into a gate of righteousness? And if you can get to the place where you know it's a gate of impurity, then you can repent. And so, you know, the studying of it had a purpose. If you can just get to the place where it's something you repented of instead of something to add to your selfhood.
But the point is, Jews believe that the 49 gates of impurity are bad things.
Yeah.
I mean, bad things to the human race.
Right. Well, I understand what you're getting. Like I said, they're mirror images of each other. They're just trying to make it good so that they can increase their selfhood. It should be, you know, to make you lead to your repentance.
Right, and that's exactly the reason that synagogue Judaism and Christianity are the same thing. They're both waiting for Messiah. And they're effectively doing the same kind of worship. Except Christians do it by making up their own laws of behavior. But anyway. All right. That's enough for today. Take it, big guy.